On the topic of water, I didn't see exactly where all the snow fell in Colorado this last week. I heard it sure got dumped on pretty big. The good news to that is just as of February 23rd, about a month ago, the average snowpack, we were at 86% of the annual average snowpack for our watershed down to the Colorado, which is a big part of where we get our water in the state of Arizona. So I would imagine, you know, that other 14% probably fell this week. If we got more than 2.5 inches, we've surpassed the annual average.
And the Texas freeze has people moving to Arizona. California, just by nature of what California is, has people moving to Arizona. I had a friend in Denver, lives in a condo above George Washington Park, showed me videos of families in snowshoes taking children to the park. So I'm quite sure we'll have some Coloradans moving to Arizona. Third worst snowstorm in Denver's history. I mean, it was a humdinger.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Wow. Third worst in Denver.
I know, you know, it was years ago they had what they call it Snowzilla there or something. It was a few years ago. It was pretty bad. But
and that snowpack doesn't, and that's why I want to look where all that snow landed, because Denver's, you know, that's not in the Colorado River watershed. You know, they're
right
on the opposite side of the mountains for that.
That ends up, I think, in the Red River, Nebraska or something.
Yeah, over in the Mississippi eventually, yeah. Somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
But those Rocky Mountains got dumped.
Good. That's good. That's good. Well, and there's still time. I mean, it's only mid-March, so bring it on. Bring it on. But yeah, if you're, with COVID and people are working from home, they can work about anywhere they want if you have the right job. You know, why would you want to live in some of these places if you do you no longer have to make that commute into that city or do that and live in some place that you can be playing golf right now? Makes us pretty attractive.
Fastest growing county in America right now,
which is, you know, it's kind of like spring. It's bittersweet.
National Weather Service came out with their forecast for precipitation, let's say June, July, August. Keep your fingers crossed. They've got an A above average.
We're above average. I saw that the other day.
That's the projection to
Correct.
Be above average.
Right.
Well, we could use a couple above average. We had a couple years of below average, so maybe that cycle's coming back around. A few good wet.
Good monsoon.
Come on, La Nina.
Would be good. We need the moisture all over the Southwest, not just Arizona. But, yep.
Now, with this warming weather, John, we're talking about spring vegetables and whatnot. Shouldn't you and couldn't you just be pre-emerging every square inch of your yard right now?
Now's the time to put pre-emergent down where you don't want any seasonal weeds or grasses to come up. We usually, if we had to pick two dates, and generally pre-emergent you have to do twice a year, we would pick the first day of fall and the first day of spring. So the fall application would, in theory, keep all of the stuff from coming up after the winter rains that we've just gone through. Now what you're putting on will control any late spring rains and the monsoon rains from generating unwanted weeds and grasses. So just make sure it's someplace you don't want to eventually plant seeds. It doesn't hurt if you're going to plant a tree or a shrub, something that's already germinated and has a root ball and is a growing, thriving plant. You can dig a hole and plant those. But anywhere that you might want to plant, you know, some seeds like a vegetable garden, or if you're going to seed a Bermuda grass lawn, don't pre-emerge it ahead of time, or you'll be disappointed in the results of that.
You could hit it with a spray to kill any weeds that were there.
Oh, absolutely. Any post-emergent as opposed to pre-emergent, so something that you would spray on the leaves or stems of a growing weed or grass, that's fine. Yeah, that doesn't inhibit us from planting seeds in the ground.
Well, we've got a very unique weed strategy at our house, but on the topic of weeds, Glenn has jumped onto the conversation from Peoria. See how we can help him first. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So, you know, we got rain for the last couple of weeks. Every time it rains, the weeds just keep on getting higher and higher. Well, not higher. I've been putting that ground clear stuff on them, and they go away. Uh-huh. But every time it rains, it multiplies. So my front yard is completely full of weeds, and okay. I was going to spray them again, but I got that pre-emergent. So I'm not sure if I should spray the weeds dead and then put on the pre-emergent, or can I put on the...
The nice thing about pre-emergent, Glenn, is that you have to water it in anyway. So if you want to apply it ahead of time and then go out and spray, you know, that's fine. But remember, you have to water that pre-emergent in. So you don't want to get your weed killer or your post-emergent too wet after you apply it. So one thing I would probably do, if it was me, I'd put the pre-emergent in. I would give everything another really good soaking or watering, which would also... Anything that's already germinated, that's laying there, that's sprouted that you might not see, might give it a little boost. Because believe it or not, that stuff that we want to kill, the faster it's growing and the more young and tender and luxuriant the foliage is on it, the easier it is to kill it. So pre-emerge, water heavily, maybe wait a day or two, and then hit it with the post-emergent and kill all that stuff that's already up and sprouted.
Alrighty. That was my question. Thank you for the answer.
You're welcome.
And I don't know your particular situation or your yard or what any parameters have, but we got extremely overrun. They got ahead of us, and we just, you know, with our schedule, it came springtime last year. We were looking at pictures the other day, and we were losing kids in our yard from the
last year.
The weeds, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So we hit it with everything. I mean, I had a sickle in some areas. We had the weed dragons out there. You hook it up to a propane tank and you burn it.
Uh-huh.
Hula ho. We had goats out there eating away, but you have to be careful with them because if they get close to a tree, they'll strip
the
bark off.
They don't distinguish between a fruit tree and a ragweed.
No, no, they'll strip the bark off a tree. We've lost more than one tree that way.
Yeah.
So there's limited areas you can do, but we finally, after, you know, 2 or 3 months of knocking and killing and burning everything that was there, invested a few $100 in a 40-gallon tank sprayer. Just hooks up behind the ATV.
Pull it behind. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. And every other weekend, I'll fill it up and go just.
Besides, that makes it kind of fun anyway.
put your headset on, listen to your radio, and you know it takes about an hour to hit the entire property, and just go around and look for any areas that are coming up, and It that has made a huge difference.
Well,
and
it's just, you know, the right tool, the right equipment, the easier you make it, the more apt you are to do it and do a good job of it. Absolutely. I see people, you know, wandering around their big yards with these little ready-to-use things and squeezing that thing with their hand. If you've tried to do that for very long, man, you got carpal tunnel. You know, pretty darn quick. It's hard on your hands. Get a pump up sprayer that holds some pressure. That all you have to do is squeeze a little lever, and that stuff will come out, and then you just pump it up again. Make it as easy as you can on yourself to do a good job. And you know, it's like working on a car. If you don't have the right tools, it's frustrating. So.
And it really helped with the kids because anytime, like, why are you going on the spray? I'm like, it's either this or you remember last year we spent every weekend for 3 months out there working. Which would you rather do? They're all on board. They'll even help.
You like those blisters from the hula ho?
They'll even help me now. Like, hey, there's some over here. You got to go. We saw some coming
over
there.
Make it fun.
Everyone's on weed patrol. Rick and Mace is next on the line. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I've been told by groundspeople and people that vinegar and a little dish soap spraying your weed works. Does that work or not?
You said vinegar and dish soap?
A little dish soap in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, anytime you can kind of coat the leaf and cover it with some type of oily substance, generally will burn it up. I don't know how much to tell you to use at a time. You'd have to play with it. It'll work. Now, the difference between that and certain weed, it does not distinguish between a weed or a grass. So if you've got weeds in your lawn, it'll also burn your lawn. So, just be aware that it's what we would call a non-selective herbicide. It's going to kill or damage anything you put it on. It's also not systemic. So if you were out in gravel areas spraying it and you didn't want it to come back, if you do that, it's just going to kill the top or whatever you touch. If the roots stay alive and it's early enough in the season, they will regenerate and regrow. So you may have to do multiple applications. But yes, in theory and in general, some people do use concoctions, I'll call them of some sort, of soaps and oils and vinegars and things, and they do work, yes.
There's another thing. It's not very practical in a large application, but if you're on a smaller area, and it's not attractive either, but there's solarizing, where they'll take plastic and they'll cover it and keep it on there for 6 months during the hotter times. Yep. And, the theory is it heats up and burns anything up that's underneath it, and that plastic keeps anything new seed from falling on top of it from monsoons or storm. But, it's such a, like I said, it doesn't look
more
good.
Of an application if you have a vegetable garden area that you're willing to let go fallow for a few months during the late summer and it cover it with clear plastic and let it solarize it. Organic farmers will do that, in areas. It works fine, but you've got to be able to just dedicate an area that you don't want to have anything growing and have that plastic laying on it for a while. But so not really very practical for your landscaped areas, but if you've got, a garden plot, a vegetable garden plot, it's a very acceptable practice.
Well, we appreciate the call, Rick. Let us know if you test it, how it works and what your measuring proportions are.
Right.